Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs 18 tonight, and last Wednesday night we started, we're looking back down memory lane, May 23, 1999, and some Sundays following May 30th and so forth that year. And we're talking about the business of catching a spirit, catching a spirit. I'll say a word about last week's lesson, then we'll get into the material for this evening. You remember the lesson last week was taken from 2 Kings chapter 2, where Elisha longed for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong with a young preacher longing for a double portion of the Holy Ghost anointing that is on another preacher. But Elisha had been serving Elijah for some time, had observed the spirit of his mentor, or of Elijah. And he longed for a double portion of what he had observed about the spirit of the man. He said, I want a double portion of thy spirit. So Elijah's spirit was infectious. It was infectious. And Elisha wanted to walk in the same spirit as Elijah walked in. And this should move us to be careful about our spirit. We should be careful about the spirit we carry at home. Now, you know, just observation-wise, through the years, when you have a parent, a dad and a mom, and especially the thing that I'm going to talk about tonight, when they've got the right spirit, you can see the results of that in kids. And when dad and mom suffer with what I'm going to talk about tonight, you can see that in the results of kids as well. So we need to be careful about the spirit we carry at home, the spirit we carry at work, at ministry, whatever ministry we're involved in for the Lord, be it church, somewhere else. People around us will catch the effects of our spirit. Just yesterday and Monday, I was with Brother Coral down at Mocksville, North Carolina, with Brother Daryl Cox, who's come here to preach before at Trinity Baptist Church. Brother Cox is one of those guys that I just enjoy being around because he has a good spirit. And his spirit is infectious. It wears off on you. And it's a blessing to be around a person with a good spirit. Now, last week, we talked about the spirit of confidence and how Paul had a spirit of confidence. Paul was confident that God would do a good work in young Timothy. And that spirit of confidence in Timothy was infectious. Timothy caught it. And other places in the Bible, Paul talked about being confident in this group, being confident in this church, being confident in this group. The spirit of confidence in people will be infectious. It will benefit our spouse. It will benefit our children. It will benefit our friends. It will benefit others with whom we have influence. So the spirit of confidence is one we should work at cultivating in our life. But there's another spirit that we should work at avoiding. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And it's found in Proverbs chapter 18. And look down with me at verse number 14. So the wise man wrote here, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? And there it is, folks. We must work at avoiding a wounded spirit. A wounded spirit. Now, I want you to notice some of the words in verse number 14. Notice the word infirmity. All right? You basically know what that is. It's akin to sickness. Our definition would be akin to sickness, but it's not talking about just physical sickness, okay? It means a weakness. It means a faltering. Everybody has infirmities. Infirmities are common to everyone. I'm talking about when you're talking about weakness or faltering in areas. Everybody suffers setbacks. Everybody suffers defeat. Everybody suffers disappointment. Everybody suffers weakness. Everybody falters. Heartache stops at everybody's doorstep. Nobody's exempt from that. So everybody goes through some kind of infirmity. And not just adults. I'm talking about young people too. And not just teenagers. I'm talking about kids. Kids suffer with infirmities. I'm talking about wounded spirit. A wounded spirit, or I'm talking about some kind of physical infirmity, okay? It can be a physical infirmity. It can be a kind of sickness or a disease. It can be a circumstantial infirmity. You know, something goes wrong with your vehicle. You get it fixed, and then it goes wrong again. Somebody was telling me the other day, paid $1,800 to get the repair work done on their vehicle, had it 2-3 days, and it broke down again. Same problem all over again. Boy, that's fretful. That's fretful. And those kind of things, circumstantial, could be appliances, could be something with the house, circumstantial infirmities. It could be emotional infirmities, the loss of loved ones, hurtful words, actions, news that your dad, just today, news that your dad has stage 4 lung cancer. Boom. Those kinds of things. Mental infirmities. I'm talking about occupational troubles. I'm talking about financial pressures, things that get on your mind and cause people to worry. Because there's a problem at work, and is my job in jeopardy, and what's going on here, what's going on there. Those kind of infirmities. I think about relationship infirmities in marriage, the relationship of marriage, the relationship of parents and children with their parents, and friend to friend, and enemies. You're going to have infirmities. You're going to have them more than once. They're going to come all through life. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to get hurt. You're going to falter. Everyone to a lesser or a greater disease degree is going to experience some kind of infirmity. That's a part of life. You think about everybody you've known in your life. Do you know anybody who has gone through life escaping infirmities altogether? Escaping heartache. Escaping anything, kind of the things I just talked about. Doesn't happen. Does not happen. So that's the first word to notice there, is the word infirmities, because they're going to come to every person. Now, I want you to notice the word sustains. Sustain there in verse number 14. Sustain. I think you know what that means. The word means to bear up. It means to nourish. It means to provide sustenance. Now, look at what it says. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. The spirit of a man will bear up, will nourish, will provide sustenance for his infirmity. People, no matter what infirmity we may be experiencing, our spirit can keep us going. God has designed our spirit to carry us through the infirmities of this life. Listen, our weaknesses are not sustained by the strength of our bodies. No. And our weakness, I'm talking about, because I'm talking about all those kinds of infirmities. Our infirmities are not designed to be sustained by the strength of our mind. I'm going to have a strong mind. Our weaknesses are not designed to be sustained by the strength of our emotions. I've got a strong constitution. I'm emotionally under control. Well, that's wonderful, but that's not what God has designed to carry us through, to strengthen, to bear us up through the infirmities of life. Our weaknesses are sustained by the strength of our spirit. That's what he said, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Look, if I have one of those other kinds of infirmities that has nothing to do with physical health, and I've lost my physical health, if I've got the right kind of spirit, I can still bear through the trial with horrible physical health. And God never designed for our physical strength to carry us through. He never designed for a strong mind, a strong constitution, a strong emotional stability to carry us through. Our weaknesses are sustained. Our infirmities are sustained by the strength of our spirit. But then I want you to notice the word wounded. So here's what happens. Our spirits can get wounded. The word means ill or sickly. Now, if our spirit gets ill, if our spirit gets sick, then the infirmities of life become complicated 100 times worse. 100 times more. If my spirit gets wounded, then how will I ever bear up during the difficulties of life? You know, if there's somebody who's lost their physical health and they're up in years and they're kind of confined to a bed in a house, maybe they have a little bit of mobility, but very limited. And then somebody, you know, in the family or somebody else, a close friend, moves in and becomes their caretaker. And that caretaker helps them get about. That caretaker, you know, is there when they need to eat. That caretaker is there when they need to use the bathroom. That caretaker is there when they need this, need that. If that caretaker gets sick, if that caretaker goes down, that's bad news for that person in that bed. And if my spirit is wounded, then that's bad news. Because if I hit a time of infirmity in any other way, if I hit a time of difficulty, if I have a time of weakness, if I have a time of faltering, if I go through some hurt or disappointment, and my caretaker is wounded, who can bear? Who can bear up to that? Because God has designed the spirit, my spirit, your spirit, to be the caretaker, to carry us through, to bear us up, to sustain us, to nourish us, to provide sustenance, if you will, through the infirmities of life. Now, there's all kinds of ways that you can get a hurt spirit. Probably 99.9% of the people in this room at some point in time, even you young people, have had a wounded spirit, a hurt spirit, including this pastor. I don't think we're exempt from that, okay? When we suffer bodily wounds, either internal or external, we normally take measures to make sure those wounds heal up. Can you go through life without any kind of bodily wound? Gage Povance can't go through 4 or 5 days without some kind of physical wound. He's all the time getting hurt. You probably every family in this church with multiple children, you have that one child that just always gets hurt. You know, you go outside and just the same person. Over, I don't know if it's clumsy or they just, if there's a pole, they're going to run into it. For us, it was Ben. Ben, he was always getting hurt. Took him to the doctor for stitches 3 times before he was 5 years of age out there in Iowa. 3 times. Fell 8, 9 feet off of a slide right down on the ground. And not on the, coming up the steps. He fell, the slide's here, the steps are here. Somehow he falls, plop. Grandchildren, over at Ben's place, that's Nellie. Nellie's clumsy. Ooh, I shouldn't have said that. Forgive me. Now she's got a wounded spirit on top of it. Top of being clumsy. We go through life, we get wounds of all kinds. We get all kinds of wounds. We take measures to get them healed up. When I was a boy, my mother's response to everything was methylate. Methylate. I don't know if they even make that anymore. Do they make that anymore? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was in a glass bottle. It was orange. You took that little stick out. Oh, my gracious. You're talking about burn. Friend. Horrible. It was either methylate or an enema. Took care of everything. Took care of everything that ails you. Here we go. Oh, mercy. And then follow it up with chicken and rice soup. Oh, mercy. I have a hard time with chicken and rice to this day. Oh, but anyway. I think because the chicken and rice reminds me of the enema. That's what it is. I'm probably in trouble tonight when I get home with my wife. You didn't have to say all that. Oh, but we're just people, right? We're just men. Now look, not all wounds are potentially fatal, but I guess some are. Nearly all wounds that don't, listen, I'm talking about physical wounds. Nearly all wounds are uncomfortable, cause a measure of pain, in some cases can incapacitate us to a degree. So it's unwise to ignore a wound physically. I'm talking about a physical wound. It's unwise to ignore a wound that could become worse and result to greater physical trouble. It's unwise to ignore that. Wouldn't you agree? Well, what about when your spirit gets wounded? It in the same way, it's unwise to ignore a wounded spirit. And folks, we don't need to play dumb. We know when our spirit's wounded. We know. And it's unwise to let that go. Because it could, if it's left unattended, it could result in something that'll have a far greater impact on us and those around us. A wounded spirit left unattended almost always develops into bitterness. And when you move from wounded spirit to bitterness, the Bible says that you will be troubled and those around you will be defiled. And it's not defiling somebody's body from the transfer of germs because I've got a infected, contagious wound and I touch somebody and transfer germs. No, this is transferred through the Spirit. This is transferred through my spirit. I'd be 100% physical health. Walking around with a wounded spirit, paying no attention to it. In fact, kind of coddling it and fertilizing it. And that spirit gets infected because spirits are infectious. Because Elisha wanted the double spirit of Elijah's spirit. Something infectious about that man's spirit. I want a double portion of what you got. And, you know, our kids don't want a double portion of what we have when we carry a wounded spirit around. But if we don't tend to it, it's going to infect them. That's what's going to happen. Now, so what's the answer? How do you tend to a wounded spirit? Well, turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And, this can happen between husband and wife. This can happen between parent and child, child and parent, siblings, friends. It can happen to anybody that's got a spirit. And we all do. Hebrews chapter 12. And you see here the answer to a wounded spirit turning into bitterness. Okay? It says here in verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So, when we get a wounded spirit, we need to attend to that wounded spirit like we would attend to a physical wound. Need to do it, okay? And how do we tend to a wounded spirit? A wounded spirit gets healed, folks, through the grace of God. That's how a wounded spirit gets healed. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. A wounded spirit does not get healed completely trying to find consolation from family or friend. Now, you're saying I can't talk to a family or friend? No, you can talk to family and friend, but I don't think you can expect complete healing for a wounded spirit in consolation from a family member or a friend. Because the Bible says it's the grace of God. I don't believe that a wounded spirit can be healed by rehearsing the cause of the wound over and over again with my friends and my kids. I don't think a wounded spirit can be healed by attempting to escape the hurt by using alcohol or drugs or cutting yourself or gorging yourself with food. I don't think a spirit can be healed that way. A wounded spirit does not heal by shutting myself up in a darkened room and commiserating over it until I can think I can get the feeling better. A wounded spirit gets healed through the grace of God. It gets healed through the divine influence of God on our hearts. It heals through the soothing work of God's unmerited favor in my life. It gets healed by grace. And the Bible says that we should look diligently lest any of us should fail of the grace of God. Hey, did you read that? Did you hear it carefully? God's grace does not fail. Has never failed, will never fail, it cannot fail. God knows nothing about failure. We fail of the grace of God. We neglect, we short circuit, we hinder, we oppose. Somehow we fail the grace of God. The grace of God never fails us. So that's what I got to get to. I got to get to the grace of God. Now, the word fail is very interesting. You know what it means? It means to come. This is why I say we got to tend to look. If you get a certain kind of cut or, you know, any kind of very serious physical wound, you don't wait around. You tend to that immediately. The word fail means to come late or be tardy. To fall behind. So you know what I'm getting out of this? The moment we realize that our spirit has been wounded, no matter how, the moment we realize, we think somebody's been unfair to us, we think maybe they have been. That's going to happen. Nobody's going to go through life being treated fairly all the time. And the people who really have to be careful about this more than others is those that are secondhand sufferers. Those who are suffering because of a decision made by somebody else that was completely out of your control. Right? Secondhand sufferers. And if it, but the moment you realize that, you know what? You know what's wrong with me? I got a wounded spirit. My spirit's wounded. Immediately, we need to run to God and apply His grace and not be tardy in doing so. Because if we are tardy, guess what happens? We give place to the devil. And he does not need a whole lot of place to create havoc in our lives. Ephesians 4 talks about neither give place to the devil. So as soon as our spirit gets wounded, hurt, disappointed, to the point where it sticks with us, we don't want to be tardy. A few weeks ago, I don't know when I noticed it, but I noticed this horrible, horrible burn on the inner portion of my wife's forearm. I said, "When did you do that?" I hadn't seen it somehow. "When did you do that?" She said, "I did that the other day. I was, I forget what she was cooking something in the oven, and she wasn't careful, I guess, a little whatever. Just an accident. Accidents happen. And I mean, she had a burn." And I said, "Well, honey, didn't you put anything on that? Because we keep vitamin E oil. You know, the stove's here. You've got a thin cabinet right here." Right here next to the stove, it opens this way, and the vitamin E oil is right there. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, you get a burn, you reach for ice or butter or something like that, but you get vitamin E oil, and you slap that vitamin E oil on that burn, and it's going to sting for a little bit, but I promise you, it'll heal that burn. Because I've done it. That's what we put on Ben's hands when he landed against that wood stove in Iowa. We slathered that vitamin E oil in his hand. It never blistered. Never even blistered. And so we keep it right there. And I said, "Didn't you get the vitamin E oil?" She said, "Well, I didn't think it was that bad. And I let some time go by and I didn't get to it." And I'm going to tell you what, that burn was long, nasty, and all around it was flaming red. I said, "Honey, that's infected. That's infected." You know what happened? Tardy. Tardy. Didn't jump on it fast enough. Because if you use that vitamin E oil immediately, just as fast as you can, it'll help it. Won't blister and everything. It's a nasty looking blister and everything. Now, thankfully, it's finally healing up. But that's what happens, folks. That's what happens while we nurse a wounded spirit and kind of grovel around in it because it makes us feel good to be hurt. Isn't that weird? We give place to the devil. We fail of the grace of God. You know how quickly God's grace is available when you get hurt? Now. Boom. Immediately. Well, I think I need to do... I think you just need to run to God. That's what you need. I love 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul said, He, God, said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. Where, folks? Infirmity, wounded spirit, and weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. God's strength is present tense, now, today, this moment. God's strength is made perfect, complete, is consummated in my weakness. The weaker I am, the more full and complete God's strength can be. So when my spirit is wounded by physical, circumstantial, emotional, mental, some type of relationship infirmity, the sooner I reach for the vitamin E, the sooner I reach for the grace of God, the better it will be. The better it will be. So I have three simple statements. We're done. And I've already kind of alluded to it. Number one, what do you do when you get a wounded spirit? Run to the healer of wounded spirits. I'm not saying it doesn't help to talk to your friend, but the healer of the wounded spirit is God and His grace. Psalm 147, verse 3, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Glory to God. Amen. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it all works, but I know running to God for His grace is the wisest and best action to take. I know conversations with family and friends can be a help, but what if they fail me? The grace of God will not fail us. Will not. So we need to go there first. I've told the story more than once over the years, and I won't belabor it with detail, about Pastor Brown and his wife Diane losing that first baby, David Larry. They'd gone 7 years, I think. Well, is that right? Without a baby. And then she got pregnant, carried the baby full term. And I forget what happened at birth, but they knew the little guy wasn't well. And he died about 2 days in the hospital after he was born. They, 1,000 miles away from everybody they knew, hadn't been at the church very long. Just got there, I guess. It was in the first year, wasn't it? I think so. First or second year. All their family and lifetime friends were thousands of miles away. And that doctor finally came to Brother Brown and said, Pastor, your boy's dead. He died. And he said, I want to help you all I can. Can I go in and talk to Diane, your wife, with you? Brother Brown said, no, sir. He said, just give me an empty room in a few minutes and I'll be all right. And he went to that empty room immediately, got on his knees, and he ran to the healer of wounded spirits. And after God ministered His grace to him, he went in under complete control. I mean, still emotional, but was able to convey to his wife that their little boy was in heaven. You know, we was there at Madagascar, and about, 4 o'clock one afternoon, you know, it's cooling down, sun is setting, you can look over the city. Ben and I got a cup of coffee, went out to the little patio, and he started talking about Sam being stillborn. And he said, Dad, you know, the hardest thing, and I didn't realize this. I don't think either one of us knew this. We said the hardest thing about it was, you know, I mean, it devastated us. And we cried together, you know, and everything. And then Ashley needed to rest. So they gave her some stuff to kind of take care of the pain. And I mean, because I can't go into everything. She still got, and you ladies probably know all that. And she had to rest. And he said, I couldn't stay in the hospital, so I just had to go to a room, empty room. Can't call you, can't call mom. Nobody. Nobody. I said, son, what'd you do? He said, I just talked to the Lord. What else are you going to do? He's the healer of the broken spirit, the wounded spirit. He's the healer. So you run to the healer of wounded spirits, and you don't be tardy. Don't be tardy. Run immediately. Number two, be sure you add everything together. Be sure you add everything together. Listen to what the Bible says in James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, troubles, difficulties. Now, you know what this is not teaching? James is not saying that we're supposed to jump up and down and be joyful about setbacks and difficulties and hurts. Yippee, I'm hurt. It does mean that we are to take a step back and start adding up and subtracting the good and the bad in our lives. And we realize, you know what? Either they pretty much even out, or most of the time, in spite of the difficulty we're going through in the moment, we still come out ahead with blessings. And you add them all up. You add and add and subtract one or two and add a few more blessings and take another one away. And this happened. And you know what? When it's all said and done, I can count it all joy. Yeah, and we won't foster a wounded spirit by thinking we've been treated unfairly. You know, we don't have time. I was going to have you turn over there, but we won't have time. Do you remember the story? You remember Mordecai, right? Not Mordecai, Mephibosheth. Remember Mephibosheth, right? So David brings Mephibosheth, you know, from Lodibar, puts him at the table there in the palace and changes his clothes and his garments, gives a place to stay. The boy's lame on his feet. He ain't got nothing. And David puts him at the table and restores the land. And I mean, all of that is a picture of God's grace. Amen. Well, then David's run out of town by Absalom. Remember that? And then Absalom gets killed, and they're going to bring David back to Jerusalem. Well, a lot of those folks, when David was run out of town, a lot of his people that were with him, they went out with him. They followed him. Mephibosheth didn't. He's lame on both feet. Mephibosheth had a caretaker named Ziba, a servant. David comes back to Jerusalem. He's going to cross the river there. And on the other side of the river is Ziba. And David says to Ziba, Ziba met him there. I got the story wrong. When David was leaving, Ziba went with him. There it is. Ziba went with him. And David said to Ziba, where's Mephibosheth? And he says, oh. Now, Ziba, listen to this. Ziba said, hey, he's excited. I'm paraphrasing. You're running off the throne. He's Saul's descendant. That's Jonathan's boy. And he sees his way to the throne now. You know what that's called? A false witness. A lie. He lied about Mephibosheth. Lied about him to get in good with David. So now Absalom's dead. David's coming back, crosses the river. And Mephibosheth, with two lame feet, had crawled down to the edge of the river to welcome David home. And David looked at Mephibosheth and said, why didn't you go with me? Why didn't you go with me? And this is what he said. Mephibosheth said back, for all of my, he said, Ziba didn't take me. I couldn't go. Ziba didn't take me. And then he said, for all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king, yet thou didst set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? Mephibosheth basically told David, you know what? You've been so good to me. If you take everything away that you've already given to me, I don't have any complaints. No complaints. Take it all away. Doesn't matter, because you've been so good to me already. I don't have any right to complain or whine or be hurt. You know what Mephibosheth had done? He had added it all up. Yeah, it was bad that his servant lied about him. Bad that he fought was a false witness about him. Bad that David took away part of the land that he had given to Mephibosheth and gave it to Ziba. That's what happened. David gave part of that land to that lion servant. But Mephibosheth said, "It's okay. You've already been so good. If I lose a little bit, I'm still ahead." And you know what, folks? If we lose a little bit in this life, God's been so good to us, we're still ahead. You add it all up. And then number three, remember God works everything together for good. God works everything together for good. Now, you know the verse, right? Romans 8:28. Right. We say we know it. But do we really know it? Because I think the verse says that all things work together to good for them that what? So if I'm bitter and angry at God, is it going to work together for me? That's why I want to keep my spirit right. I don't want a wounded spirit, mad at God, angry at God, because I feel like I've been treated unfairly in this life. Because you know what? If I don't love Him with a clean heart, I'm not sure everything will work together for good, because He said everything works together for good to them that love God. A lot of people claim that promise with no right to claim it, because there's no love for God. No love. So be careful. When your spirit gets wounded, be careful. Be careful that you don't foster it. Be careful that you don't. Be careful that you're not tardy. Be careful that you don't fail of the grace of God that is immediately available to help you, because a wounded spirit is as infectious as a confident spirit. And you don't want to infect your spouse or your children or those around you with a wounded spirit. So get it fixed. God's grace. Let's stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's called catching a spirit. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll take what was said tonight and use it for our help and benefit. And Lord, nobody's going to escape life or go through life escaping all the hurts and disappointments that come along. Nobody. Nope. Nobody. But you've given us a remedy, and the remedy is our spirit. And we need to keep that spirit, Lord, from being wounded. And that's what your grace is for. And your grace won't fail us. People might fail us. Counselors might fail us. Family members and friends might fail us. But your grace never will. Help us not to come to the party too late. Help us not to falter. Help us not to be tardy, running to the great one, the healer of wounded spirits. Lord, help us to look at life and make sure we add all the components up together. We're probably going to find out you're still being way better to us than we deserve. And Lord, help us to love you so that all things can work together for good. Help us to watch our spirit, I pray. In Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a moment for the altar.